We begin the new Masechta Menachos. We begin the first parak kol Menachos and Daf Beis, where the Gemara begins similar, parallel to the previous Masechta, that of Masechta Zvachim, which spoke about the korbanos that are animal sacrifices. Here, especially in the first few parakim, a corollary regarding the same type of Masechta regarding flower offerings, that of the Menachos. So that Mishnah begins kol Menachos, all the flower offerings, and this is parallel to the first Mishnah Masechta Zvachim. There's many different types of flower offerings, just like there's many types of animal offerings. And all types of flower offerings, which the parallel of what slaughtering is by an animal, is what kmitza, the fistful of the taking of the flower, is by a flower offering. So if one does that critical avoda, if that fistful of the flower, which is sacrificed on top of the mizbeach, was done not for its namesake. So, for example, if let's say someone donated a minchas marcheshes, which is a deep pan type of flour offering, and he brings it, and the kohen does the first avodah, that of taking the fistful, and as he's doing that, he's saying, I'm doing the fistful for the purpose of being a different mincha, that of, let's say, a machavas, which is a thin pan type of flour offering. So says the Mishnah Ksheris, so the flour offering itself is going to be valid. In other words, that fistful will be sacrificed in the Mizbeach, the leftovers will be eaten by the Kohanim. Ella, however, it will not have fulfilled the obligation of that person who's bringing as a neder, as a vow, for his mincha. And he would have to bring a different one to be fulfilling his obligation of his neder of the minchas marcheshes. Now, chutz meminchas chayte, there's two exceptions to this rule that is going to be valid, is the flower offering of a sinner. For example, what's in the carbon oil of a yerid, where a person, if he's wealthy, he brings an animal. If he's not so wealthy, he brings two birds. And if he's even very poor, for example, in the case of when he's in a state of impurity and he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, the Pasuk in Yirka says that if he can't afford even two turtle doves, what he does is he brings a flower offering. So that's because of a sin that he committed. Or minchas kenais, which the mincha that's brought by the saita, which is in part of the process of verifying if she is, when she's drinking the saita waters, to see if she had committed adultery or not. Regarding those two, the halacha is going to be different. Why? Because minchas chayte or minchas kenais, regarding these two types of sin offerings, which the sin offering or that of the saita who is suspected of committing a sin of adultery, there the halacha is she comes in shalai lishma, and it goes through the four different avodas, as we said in the opening mishnah Masechta Zvachim, which will have the invalidation of shalai lishma. If the kmitza was done not for its namesake, let's say instead of being brought for minchas chayte, it was brought for a minchas nedava, a donated mincha. So if the fistful was done not for its namesake, or nasan bakli, or if it was put into the vessel, if the fistful, that fistful of flour was putting into a vessel, shaloi lishma, which is the equivalent of the Kabbalah, the halach, or if it was transported, that's the third critical avodah, or the fourth one, which by the carbon is throwing the blood, the zrika on the mizbeach, by the mincha, it's the kmitza, which is being burnt on top of the mizbeach. If that's vehikta shaloi lishma, if it's burnt not for its namesake, so those are the four invalidations of machshava of shalei lishma. Or let's say a different invalidation of thought. Let's say, in one of these four critical services of the mincha offering, there was a thought that he says, I'm going to do this lishman v'shalei lishman. So not clearly, purely shalei lishma, as we said in the first cases in the Mishnah. But rather he says, I'm going to do it for its namesake and not for its namesake. Oy, shalei lishman ulishman. Or I'm going to do it not for its namesake and its namesake, which is the exact opposite. So regarding one of these two minchas, if he does it that way, psulas here, unlike the previous ones, which we said that all minachas that have been done, shalei lishma, it's going to just not be olal baal m'shem chayva, but it's going to be kosher. Regarding minchas chayt and minchas knas, if he does any one of the four avoides, shalei lishma, or even lishma and shalei lishma, or shalei lishma and lishma, it's going to be invalid, and even the nefta leftovers are not going to be eaten, as Gemara will explain the reason. Now that the Mishnah clarifies, Ketzad lishman b'shalei lishma. What does it mean he's doing it for its namesake and not for its namesake? So for example, let's say when he's doing one of the avodas, he says, I'm doing it l'shem minchas chayte, which is lishma. I'm doing it for the namesake of it being a flower offering of a sinner. U'l'shem minchas nedava, and for the purpose of being a mincha of a donation, which is shalei lishma. Or so too, what shalei lishman u'lishman is the inverse. First, he's saying, I'm doing l'shem minchas nedava, which is shalei lishma, and then l'shem minchas chayte, and for being for the purpose of mincha of a chayte. So why did the Mishnah have to say, or shalei lishma ulishma, and both cases, to tell you that don't think only by lishma and shalei lishma it's going to be possible because of the halachic dictum of Tafas Lashon Acher, and you go based on the last thing that was said. But let's say if it was first Shalei Lishma, and then he said Lishma, then actually it would be Kasher. That's what the Mishnah is teaching them. No, even when we say Seif Devar of Adam Nitfas, we go based on the last thing he says, is even over there could be a problem. But for sure, if the first thing was Shalei Lishma, for sure it's going to be a problem. That's why he says both cases, to say if either one, the first statement he said, the last statement was Shalei Lishma, it's going to be invalid in the cases of the Mechas Haite and of the Mechas Haite. Now, the Gemara asks, same as the Mishnah Zvachim, Sech Zvachim opened up with this question, Lamed Lemisne Ella. Why, when it says this halach of all flower offerings which had one of the avodas done Shalei Lishma as kosher, Ella, but it's just not going to be fulfilling the obligation of the ned of the one who's bringing the mincha. Listen, what's the necessity of the extra word Ella? Like the Gemara says elsewhere, that person should teach a student in the most abridged version possible. Why is it add on the extra word Ella, but? Just say, and it has not fulfilled the obligation of the one who's bringing his neder. And that says the Gemara, Hokamash Malon, what it's teaching by saying the word Ella, but, is to say that, yeah, because this is the one exception. Only this regarding that it's not fulfilling his neder. But for everything else, it's considered like a bona fide, valid mincha. Which teaches us, Labalam hu delay Allah shum chayiv, the one exception is that's not fulfilling the obligation of the one who's bringing it. Ha mincha gufik shay, but the mincha, the flower offering itself, we're considered as a valid, regular mincha. And therefore, hence, the ramification of what it's teaching us is va'asa lishnuye. It's now forbidden to make any other deviation. So, for example, let's say someone violated, and they did the kemitza shalei lishma. It's forbidden now to go and do the next avodah, putting the kemitza in the vessel shalei lishma. Because the Rabbah, like Rabbah said, Dama Rabbah said, oyla sheshachter shalei lishma, an oyla offering that was slaughtered, not for its namesake. Someone said, instead of having in mind oyla, he has in mind a different carbon. Aser lizrik dama shalei lishma. So although you really did one avodah shalei lishma, you now go ahead and now do the zrikas dama shalei lishma. And as Rava says, ibay seim esvar. If you want, you can say it's based on logic. Ibay seim akran. If you want, you can say based on the verse. Ibay seim esvar. If you want, you can say it's based on logic. Meshum de meshani, but because you made one thing deviated, kolhani lishani b'vnezer, you should deviate more. You did one thing wrong, you should do more things wrong. No. And therefore, even though you already did one thing shalei lishma, the rest should still be done lishma. Ibay seim akran. If you want, you can say based on the pasuk in Devarim. Pasuk says, "Maitzes sefesecha tishma," that which comes out of your lips, you should safeguard. I mean, you have to do as you say. "Vasisa kasha nedarta l'Hashem lekecha nedavin," you should do as you took a vow to Hashem, your God, to bring your donated carbon. Now, that the question is nedava, the pasuk calling it a donation, but nederhu, the pasuk already says kasha nedarta, like you took a vow. Karle nedav, karle nedava. How's it calling the same carbon a vow and a donation? They're fundamentally different in that a neder is harei alai, he's taking responsibility, and nedav is harei zu, it's just this distinct one. How are you calling it both the same thing? Ella, rather, coming to teach this idea. Im kamash nedarta asisa, if you do as you had taken a vow to bring it for the namesake of the carbon that you had promised, so you hate neder. In other words, that will fulfill then your obligation to bring a neder if it's done like a regular carbon, lishma. But if not, that's what the pasuk says, then there's another option. Yehina dava. It will be considered like a donated carbon, because as we're saying, it's going to be kosher if you do it shalei lishma, but you're going to have to bring a different carbon to fulfill your neder that you're taking upon yourself, as your tintam at base. And therefore, since the pasuk is calling it a dava if it's done shalei lishma, so yeah, it's not fulfilling his obligation of a neder, but one thing is teaching us, v'nedava mishari lishnuyaba, but a regular donated carbon mincha, do you think you're allowed to go ahead and do deviations and do it shalei lishma? But the pasuk says in Miyukah Gimelim Zevach Shlamim Karbani, which we learn elsewhere, that the zvicha should be l'shem shlamim, which means you have to do it for the namesake of what you bring it. And therefore, yeah, although it's not a neder anymore, you haven't fulfilled your obligation, but the pasuk is calling it a nedava, and the regular nedava of a mincha, you have to bring l'shem what it is, and therefore you can't deviate, even though you already deviated once before, as if it was a regular nedava. So that explains why the Mishnah says the word Ella. Now the Gemara says, Leim masnit d'loy krib shimon. Let's say our Mishnah, that although it sounds like the same Mishnah as Vachim, but the fact that it's talking about menachah is flower offerings and says this halach is not like Reb Shimon. Why? The time like Linda Brisa. Shimon Aimer, he says, Kol ha-menachah is every flower offering, which is including all, even Mechaz Chayte, Mechaz Kenayis, Shenik Mitzu, Shalei Lishma. And if they had the fistful of the flower that's supposed to be burnt in the Mizbech that was done Shalei Lishma, says Reb Shimon, Kisheris, it's valid, and moreover, it will have fulfilled the obligation of the owner for his neder. Why? Says Reb Shimon, kids, flower offerings are not the same as animal sacrifices. In other words, Reb Shimon says, I agree by animal sacrifice, by zvachim, that it's not going to fulfill the obligation of the owner. But a mincha is different. Why? Says Reb Shimon, Sharkemitz Machvas L'Shomar Chesus. Let's say someone does the kmitza of a shallow pan mincha, and he's having in mind that it should be for a deep pan mincha. Says Reb Shimon, Maisel Mechichen Alal. His activities, his actions, are proving that he's lying when he's having in mind for that other type of mincha. Because the mincha marcheshes that he's claiming he's doing it for is deep pan, and that's why it's called marcheshes from the term of reicheshes, of that the flour looks like it's crawling because it's very soft and it shakes. And he's doing it, his actions are showing that he's doing l'shum achavas for the shallow pan mincha, because there it's very little oil, and therefore the mincha gets very hard, as the Gemara says later in the Samachim Lamed Aleph. And therefore, you're doing a machavas, you're saying, oh, I'm having in mind, I'm going to do this mincha for machashas. What are you talking about? Look what you're doing. You're doing a machavas. How can you say you're doing it for machashas? So too, if let's say he's bringing a minchas chareva, the dry flour offering, which is by the minchas chayte, the minchas kenois, where the pasuk says, mamidbar, perikei, lo yosem le'ashem, and there's no oil, so it's just a flour, it comes out very hard. And he's saying, I'm doing it l'shum balula, for the other types of menachas, which are all mixed with oil. And that says, Reb Shimon, ma'aseh mechichen alal l'shum chareva, but your actions speak louder than your words, which is obvious that you're not doing it for l'shum balila, because look at what type of flour offering. You're clearly doing it l'shma. You're doing exactly the type of mincha that's supposed to be, which is dry. But, says Reb Shimon, avol b'zvachem ein arkein. I agree by the animal sacrifices that there it's not like that. There you don't have any activities proving that, and therefore, yes, when you deviate in your thought, in your words, and what you're going to bring it for, then I agree that it's not going to fulfill the obligation of the owner. Why? Why is animal sacrifice different? Because shechita achas lekulan, it's the same slaughtering for all animals. V'zrika achas lekulan, the throwing the blood is the same thing. V'kabala achas lekulan, and the receiving the blood is the same thing. And therefore, yeah, there I agree that, okay, we'll accept what you're saying then, because maybe what you're saying is true. Your actions are not disproving your words. Okay, so then you're doing a shalei lishma. So it comes out that Reb Shimon cannot be the tana of a Mishnah on 2 points. First of all, our Mishnah says regarding all menachas, although it's kosher, it's loy alu. And Reb Shimon says it is going to fulfill the obligation. And second of all, is because the tana of a Mishnah invalidates a mechas chayte and kenois totally. And Reb Shimon says, no, even mechas chayte and mechas kenois are kosher. So obviously the tana of a Mishnah is not like Reb Shimon on 2 points. And that says the Gemara, no. Hanichel Rav Ashi, very well, we could say according to Rav Ashi, which the Gemara is going to quote later on, that he's going to answer a contradiction in two brises of Reb Shimon, which there's a different brise that contradicts this brise that we just quoted before. And Rav Ashi answers and he says that this, the Amar Khan, this that we just quoted, Reb Shimon, who says that it's even going to fulfill the obligation of the owner, even though it's being done shelo lishma by mincha, is where he says, b'koymetz machavas l'shom marchashas. He says, when he's doing a fistful of the shallow pan for the purposes of the deep pan. Now, but he doesn't say the word mincha, the flour offering. He just mentions the names of the vessels. So that is the Gemara is going to explain later on the Kohen Rav Ashi. Well, that's just empty words, because you don't deviate in pans. You deviate in the flour offering of those pans. So therefore, that's why Reb Shimon says it's insignificant, and therefore it's going to be Olu Ba'al Shem Chayva. In contrast, Khan, the other brayso of Reb Shimon that says actually Loy Olu, that's not fulfilling the obligation of the owner, is Tumah, where he mentioned the name of the flour offering. He mentioned the word Mincha. Is Bekoimetz Minchas Machavas, where he says, I'm doing the fistful of the shallow pan flour offering, L'shum Minchas Machashas, for the purposes of the deep pan flour offering. Oh, so according to Rav Ashi, you could explain the Tana of a Mishnah is like Reb Shimon, because Masnitin, our Mishnah, is Mincha, L'shum Mincha, is where he mentions the fact that it's a Mincha, and that he's doing it for a different type of a Mincha. As we explained, the Mishnah itself says, "What shaloi lishmai ulishmai." The words of the Mishnah are l'shem minchas nedava, l'shem minchas chayte. Oh, you mentioned the word mincha. Rav Ashi explains that's the other brisa of Reb Shimon, where he agrees that's going to be lo'ol ba'al shem chayv. So yeah, according to Rav Ashi, you can resolve Reb Shimon to be the town of a Mishnah, because this previous brisa is talking about a different case when you don't mention the word mincha. Our Mishnah, like the other brisa of Reb Shimon, is where you mention the word mincha. However, Elul Rabba v'Rava, but according to Rabba and Rava, that they give different answers for the contradiction of Reb Shimon, as the Gemara is going to explain later on. Michael Amemo, what are you going to say? As the Gemara explains, Pchitem, and if you're going to say that, no, even according to them, you could say that the Tana of Mishnah is like Reb Shimon. Why? So let's go through one. Kedikumashani Rabba, like Rabba answers. How does he answer the contradiction of Reb Shimon? He says, Kan, the Reb Shimon Rabbi says that the reasoning of Reb Shimon, the Braisa that says, according to Reb Shimon, that it's Alu, is Bishinu Kaidish, is where he changed the mincha for the different type of a mincha, where you're changing the kachim itself. He's bringing a minchas machvas for the purpose of being a minchas macheshes. That's what Reb Shimon in the Braisa we just quoted says, that it's going to be Alu, because your activities are disproving, your actions are disproving the words that you're saying. It's obviously that you're lying when you're saying you're doing it for a different type of mincha, when you're clearly doing it for the one it's supposed to be brought for. Kan, this later Braisa that says, Loy Alu, is Bishin Bailam, is when he changes the owners. For example, the kaimitz that the kain is doing, so Reuven brings the mincha, but when the kain does the kaimitz, he does it for Shimon, where they don't have any actions that are disproving that, if it's for Reuven or for Shimon. You don't know which one he's doing it for. Nothing's proving that. So therefore, that's where Reb Shimon says that, okay, so then your thoughts and your words could definitely make an impact because it's not being disproved by your actions. So on that, as the Gemara, well, hamasnit in shina kaidishu. Our Mishnah is talking about a case of changing the type of carbon, and the Mishnah says, loy alu. So that's not like the resolution that Rabbi gave. Rabbi is saying the case of alu that Reb Shimon says is shina kaidish, and loy alu, shina bailam. You can't say that our Mishnah is like that other braisa of loy alu, because our Mishnah is clearly talking about Shina Kodesh and not Shina Bailam. It's kind of like we learned in the Mishnah, when it says, Ketzer Lishman v'shaloy Lishman, what's the case of when it's done for Lishma and Shaloy Lishma? It's, for example, if let's say he did a kmitza of a sin offering, of a flower sin offering, Lishum Minchas Chayti u Lishum Minchas Nedava. So you see that the case that's being discussed of Shaloy Lishma is not a change of the type of owner, but a type of the mincha. And therefore, that still wouldn't work well, according to Rabbi, because Rabbi is saying that's the case Rabbi Shimon holds. It's Alu, and our Mishnah says clearly, Loy Alu. The Inam could become a Shani Rav, and says the Gemara, if you want to say, let's say, the way Rava had resolved for the resolution of the reasons of Rabbi Shimon, where he says, Kan, this, that, the first Brice that we quoted before, Rabbi Shimon, that says, Alu, that will fulfill the owner's obligation, is become its Mincha Lishum Mincha, is where the change of Kaidish, the deviation, is regarding another flower offering. So, for example, let's say he makes a kmitza on the Minchas Machvas to be a Minchas Macheshes. Oh, there, says Reb Shimon, it's going to be even fulfill the owner's obligation, because the Pasuk says in Vayikrovav, Zoyz Teresa Mincha, this is the law of the Mincha, which sounds like Tara Achas Lacha Menachas, all flower offerings have the same halacha. So, therefore, it's not considered even like a Shalei Lishma, like a deviation of the Kaidish. Therefore, he says it's going to fulfill the owner's obligation. Whereas Kan, the Braisa we're going to quote later on, that says, Loy Alu, is become its mincha l'shum zevach. The change of the Shina Kodesh is we change it from a flower offering to as if he's bringing an animal sacrifice. Which Gemara later on is going to ask, what do you mean? If you do a kmitza l'shem zevach, that should also be kasher, because that's the logic of Shimon says, ma'aseh machichen, there's no greater disproof that you're not doing an animal sacrifice when you're bringing a flower offering. And the Gemara on the next daf is going to answer that question. But be that as it may, that's how Rava resolves the contradiction. So that is the Gemara. But our Mishnah says, Loy Alu is Mincha L'Shum Minchahi. That's the case of flower offering for a different type of flower offering, and therefore that still is not good according to the way the Rav is saying it either, because that's the case that he says Reb Shimon holds Alu. He only says Loy Alu when you're doing it for a Zevach, for an animal sacrifice. The Tanakh we learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, what's the case of Shaloy Lishman U Lishman? That you're doing it not for its namesake and its namesake. It's L'Shem Minchas Nedav, L'Shem Minchas Chayte. So it's clearly not like the way Rav says it either. Now, Rashi just points out, why did the Gemara ask from the next case of the Mishnah, from Shaloi Lishma? It could have asked from the previous case that it asked on Rabbah, from Lishman U Shaloi Lishman. Mishnah says two cases, Lishman, Shaloi Lishman, Shaloi Lishman, Lishman. So Rashi just says, because that's just, he followed the order of the Mishnah, but yeah, it could have asked just as well from the previous case. But be that as it may, you see that both Rabbah and Rava, that their resolutions for Reb Shimon don't work out, because their cases, which they say Reb Shimon holds Alu, is the case that our Mishnah is saying, Loy Alu. So the Gemara says, you're right, El Rabba V'Rabba, Machvarta, it's clear, Masnin, like Reb Shimon, according to them, obviously our Mishnah is like Reb Shimon. According to Rav Ashi, we could say, according to them, you can't say. So now, those were the three answers, three different approaches to resolve the contradiction of Reb Shimon. Now the Gemara goes back to that and explains this, what this contradiction was. B'Rami Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon, says the Gemara, we have a contradiction in the opinion of Reb Shimon. Because the Tanya learned a different price. Reb Shimon Aimer, he says in the Pasuk regarding a mincha, a flower offering, it says, Kodesh Kodeshim, it's the holiest of the holiest type of level of sacrifices. Kechatas v'cha'ashim, which are both kachay kachim, like a sin offering and a guilt offering. Now, how so? Which one is it? It's like a chatas, like ashim. They have different laws. Says the Braisa, says Reb Shimon, Yeshmen kechatas, there are some flower offerings like a sin offering, but Yeshmen kashmen, some of them are like a guilt offering, as Reb Shimon explains. Minchas chayte harei kechatas. The flour offering of a sinner, like we said, by carbon oil, will be yared by the one who makes the base of Mikdash Tameh or eats kachem in a state of impurity. So that's going to be like a chatas, which the Gemara in the beginning of Masechta Zevachim explains that all carbonists that are slaughtered shalo lishma kosher, just not fulfilling the owner's obligation, except for the carbon pesach and the carbon chatas, which are totally invalid. And the Gemara in the first paragraph of Masechta Zevachim explains the reasoning for that. Now our Gemara later on is going to explain the reasoning for the minchas chatas. But that's what Reb Shimon says, that the minchas chayte is like the chatas. Lefikach comes to shalo lishma, psulo kechatas. Therefore, if the kmitz of the avoid is done shalo lishma, it's going to be invalid, unlike all other menachas and other karbanas that are at least kosher. It's going to be invalid, like the sin offering. Minchas nedava harei kashem. When someone donates a flour offering, that's like the guilt offering. Lefikach comes to shalo lishma ksher. Therefore, if you do the avoid of the kmitz not for its namesake, it's at least going to be valid. Now, but then the extension of this idea is ukashim. But then it's like the guilt offering, which teaches us ma'ashim kasher ve'ein emaratza. Just like the guilt offering, it's valid, but it's not going to fulfill the owner's obligation because by karbanas, as we said, Reb Shimon agrees that all karbanas, even if they kasher, it's le'olabam shem chayva, and he's comparing the minchas nedava to a karbanashim. So even if it's kasher, but it's not olu, it's not going to fulfill the owner's obligation. So therefore, af minchas nedava ksher vein maratza. So that extension is that so to a donated mincha, although it's going to be kosher, but it's not going to fulfill the owner's obligation. And therefore, we have a contradiction on Reb Shimon himself on 2 points. First of all, on the minchas chayte, because in the previous brayse on the top of the Amud, we quote him by saying that it's going to be kosher, and here he's saying that minchas chayte is like the chatas, and it's going to be possible when it's done shalosh shma. And then we have another contradiction about minchas nedava, where the previous brayse said at least it's going to be alu, and this brisa says it's not going to be alu. Even though it's kosher, it's not going to fulfill the owner's obligation. So that's where we have these three answers that the Gemara had quoted. Amar Rabba, he says, like kosher, it's not difficult, because kan b'shina kaidish. The first brisa is talking about, as we explained before, it's going to be alu l'baal m'shem chayva, as the Gemara is going to shortly qualify this statement of Rabba, is when it's a change of different types of kabbanas, a machavas for macheshes, different types of kabbanas. That's where Reb Shimon says it's going to be Allah l'bal m'shem chayva, because it's obvious what you're doing that it's different than what you're saying. So therefore, what you're saying has no significance. Kan b'shin n'bal, the second brisa is not so obvious, where you can't tell when you're doing this kmitz if it's for Reuben or Shimon. So therefore, what you're saying will have halachic significance, and therefore that's going to be an invalidating statement to make the carbon, the mincha, that it should be shalei olabam shem chayva because of the psul of shalei lishma. However, amalei Abaya, but Abaya asks on Rabba in his interpretation of differentiation between shina kodesh and shina bailam as the source for this resolution of these two opinions of Reb Shimon. But he says, mechti, let's see, how can you do this? Machshava de pasur achmanam, this that is an invalidation in the thought process when the kohen is doing the avodah by mincha, hekeshihi. The source for this halacha is a hekesh, like we mentioned this before, where the Torah compares the flour offering to the animal sacrifices. Like the pasuk says, "Kodesh kodeshim hi kachatas v'cha'ashem." We say that the mincha is the highest level types of sacrifices, which are like the sin offering and the guilt offering, which we said, just like a zevach of animal sacrifice, the thought process will invalidate it. And there, it's going to validate in all situations. Shina Kodesh, Shina Baalim, as we learn in the opening Mishnah Masechta Zevachim, as the pasuk says, "Hamakriv oisir lo yechashav." If someone has an inappropriate thought, it's not going to be valid. So too, as Abaye, the flower offering, you should say the same idea. Malish Shina Kodesh, Malish Shina Baalim. Now, what's the difference? If the source is from Zevachim, so just like by Zevachim, the invalidation is whether you change it for the type of carbon or whether the type of the owner, it's going to be loy olabam shem chayva. So the same thing should apply by the mincha. How are you saying by the mincha, differentiation for Reb Shimon, that by shina bailim it's going to be loy olu, it's not going to fulfill the obligation. But by shina kodesh, you say it will be. On that amalei, Rabbi said to him, no, maseo mechich in the kam Reb Shimon, this idea that Reb Shimon was saying, where the actions, and that was what we had said in the previous brayse, so why he says that menachas are different than zvachim, that it's going to be even valid for the owner's obligation, because the actions speak louder than words, that they're proving what the person's saying is a lie, that's svarihi, that's a logic. Because the Reb Shimon Dorish time in the Kras, as Reb Shimon's mentioned throughout Shas, he doesn't just learn a hekesh or the pasuk zeres, because of this what the pasuk says, he interprets and extrapolates and therefore extracts what was the rationale of the pasuk, and that has halachic significance. And therefore, machshava d'lo minkara, a thought process that's not recognizable if it's a patent lie or not, which is really the case by every Zvachim, why it's going to be Pasul Shina Kodesh in the Bayan, like we said, the owner you can't tell. And by animal sacrifice, you also can't tell because the Avodas are the same. That's what Pasul Rachmana. That's what Torah says, okay, it's going to be invalid because you went and you had an inappropriate thought that it's not being disproved by the actions. But machshava de minkara, but a thought process which is recognizable to everyone that what the person is saying is a lie. And this is where mincha is different by Shina Kodesh. Where, because the underpinning logic changes by mincha, because we said that there you have maaseh machichen, because the actions are disproving what the person is saying, which is only uniquely by mincha, not by zemach, there's not going to be a thought process, and therefore, loy pasul rachmana, therefore, there the Torah does not invalidate, like we said, because the actions speak louder than the words. Now, as Rashi points out, this that we keep on saying, machshava, by kodshim, it means, according to Rashi's opinion, actually verbalizing what he's saying, as the Gemara says, "B'mitzidav memdal menalv," a kol dvar pesha, to be liable for thought like action. It means that you have to verbalize it, because if not, how are you making someone liable just for thoughts? And therefore, it means with the words. But again, you're obviously lying when you're saying words, and everyone can tell that because you're saying you're doing this, but you're obviously doing that. And therefore, if you're doing that, it's obvious, and you're not saying anything significant. And therefore, mincha, although it's being learned from zevach, will be different because it has an element that doesn't have by zevach, which is that it's obvious that what he's saying is false because maaseh machichen and his actions are disproving that. Now, regarding this interpretation of Rab and the opinion of Reb Shimon, the Gemara has a few different questions, which the siman, the mnemonic is Oila, Oila, Malak, Umitza, Chatas, Oiv, Kacha, Kashim, Kashim, Kalam, which is, as the Gemara says, Ilamiata. But if that's the case, like this principle that Rabbi just introduced in his interpretation of the resolution of Reb Shimon, that the reason why the first Brisa says, can they even fulfill the owner's obligation, is because it's an obviously patently false thought process that you're verbalizing, because your actions are disproving that. So if that's the case, that whenever you have an obvious thought that is a lie, that then it's not going to invalidate. So to El Meata, so ask the Gemara, if that's the case, then let's take Oila Sa'iv Shamolka Lamala. Regarding a bird Oila, which it's Malika, which is the equivalent of Shechita by a bird carbon, that's done on the upper half of the Mizbeach, which it's supposed to be done on the top half, which is above the red string that separates the Mizbeach, as the Raisa teaches in Teres Kayanim, talks about Umalak, doing the Malika, Behikter, and sacrificing Benimtza, and squeezing out the blood from the neck of the bird on the Mizbeach, which teaches us the comparison, just like the burning of the Oila is done on the top of Mizbeach, so to its Malika, which is its slaughtering, is also done on the top of the Mizbeach, and Mitzah also says there in that pasuk. So ask the Gemara regarding the case of an Oila Sa'if that's done where it's supposed to be done on the upper half of the Mizbeach. But he's saying he's doing it Mishum Chata Sa'if. He's saying, I'm doing it really as not as an Oila Sa'if, but a Chata Sa'if. Now, a Chata Sa'if, a bird Chata, is supposed to be done on the bottom half. As the Gemara says, Mesech Lezvachim, Nav Samachim et Alf, in contrast to an animal Chata is done on the top, the bird Chata is done on the bottom. Ask the Gemara, Teratze, it should even fulfill the owner's obligation whose Oila Sa'if this is being brought for. Why? I mean, doing a shalai lishma. Shalai lishma is kasha, but loy lam shem chayba. No, it should even be according to Reb Shimon. Should even be fulfilling the owner's obligation. Because myself, my chichen alel, the oila sa'ifi. What do you mean? Your actions are showing that you're doing an oila. You're doing a chatas? The chatas sa'ifi? If it's like you're claiming that it's a bird chatas, lamai hava avadla. Then what do you mean? Then lamata hava avadla. You would have done it on the bottom. So obviously you're not doing a chatas. You're doing an oila. So why does the Mishnah teach Masechet Zvachim Daf Samach Dalam Beis the Loi also that's not fulfilling the owner's obligation? Why? According to the logic, Rabbi just said in the opinion of Reb Shimon, it's Maaseh Machichen. The actions are disproving, and therefore your actions, therefore your thoughts that you're verbalizing have no significance whatsoever, and should not be an invalidation. It should even be fulfilling the owner's obligation. And that answers the Gemara. No, as the Gemara does to all these questions, that they're not Machichen. They're not so definitive because. Do you think that the malika of the chata sa'if is not on the top half of the mizbeach also? But the master said, malika, doing the malika on the chata sa'if, that's valid in all places in the mizbeach, as the Gemara says in Zvachim, the v'samach gimel aleph, which you could do it on the bottom, but you could also do it on the top part. And therefore, it's not an obviously patently false thought process, because you could be doing it a chata saif on the top, and therefore that's why the Mishnah says over there that loyal salabam shemchayv, it's not going to fulfill the owner's obligation. But the Gemara asks a different question. Oila saif. Let's take the case of a bird oila, which the way it's validated is with mitzvah, with just squeezing the blood on the wall of the mizbeach. As the pasuk says in the beginning of Yikra, "Benimtza dom al kir mizbeach," you squeeze the blood of the neck of the animal after the malika was done on the wall of the altar. In contrast, the chatas oif first has to have hazah to throw the blood from the neck, and then to squeeze the neck itself on the wall of the mizbeach. Like it says in the pasuk, "V'hizim adam achatas," you just throw from the blood of the chatas. "V'anishu b'dam yimatzeh," and whatever the blood is remaining, then you squeeze that the neck of the bird on the wall of the mizbeach. So ask the Gemara regarding the oila sa'if. Shemitza dam lamala, that two things that are supposed to be done only by an oila was done by this oila sa'if, which he squeezed the blood on the upper half of the mizbeach. So two things that are by the oila sa'if only has mitzah, and he's only doing that. And he's doing it on the top half, which is also only by oila sa'if. And he's saying he's doing it l'shem chata sa'if, he's doing it for a bird chatas. So on that as the Gemara, Teratza, that case should be even fulfilling his obligation. Because Maseya Mechichin Lado Ila Saifi, his actions are proving, and therefore again, they speak louder than his words, and they disprove that obviously he's doing it for the Ila Saif, the Chata Saifi, because if you would think it's a Chata Saif, so 2 points. Lamata Havat Avala, he would have done it on the bottom, as the Pasuk says, Al Kir, the Bryson Teres Kain explains that for the Chata Saif, that's the bottom half of the wall of Mizbeach. And moreover, Hazah, like the Tzayin Kachem adds on the words over here, that's the second question, Vazah Havar Avala. And he also would have done it with Hazah first, meaning he first would have held onto the bird itself and gone up and down forcefully, which would have had the blood spray out. In contrast, Mitzui is when he takes the place of where the bird is slaughtered, where he has the Malika between his fingers, and he squeezes on the wall of the Mizbeach. Here, he didn't do Hazah, and he did on the top half, which are two obvious indicators that's a Eila Sa'if and not a Chata Sa'if. So why is it not fulfilling the owner's obligation according to the logic that Rabbi just said, that Maisem Mechichin, so that should prove that's a Eila Sa'if, and therefore the thought of Chata Sa'if should not be an invalidating factor. So that Gemara continues now on top of Gimel and Aleph. No, Amri, people would say that no, it is a Chatas. And this that he's doing Mitzui, Dilma Mitzui, the Basar Hazahu, maybe he already did Hazah, maybe we just didn't notice. And maybe this is a Mitzui that was already after the Hazah. Now, but what's with the other factor that he's doing on the upper half? But didn't we say Chata Saif is done on the bottom half? And that says the Gemara, no, because even regarding that factor, the Amamar, the Master says, Mitzah Dama B'chol Makom Mizbeach Kshera. If one does the Mitzui of the Chata Saif on any part, even the upper half, it's going to be valid, and therefore there's no obvious factor here that's proving that what he's saying is not like what he's doing, because technically it could be Chata Zayif, could be already did Hazah, and we just didn't see. And also could be that it's a Mitzui for the Chata Zayif, because it is Kasher on the upper half. And because of that, since we have those factors, that's why the Shaloi Lishma will be significant, because it's not being disproven by his actions, and that's what's going to be Lo'os L'Vayim Shem Chayva. But that's still, Rabbi so far has not been contradicted, which the Gemara continues asking questions on this principle in the next daf, regarding his resolution of the opinion of Reb Shimon. What is it when you do it Shaloi Lishma? Is it going to be Alu or Shaloi Alu? So that's what he says, it depends. When you're doing it L'Shem Ba'alim, so then it's going to be Loi Alu, because so you're saying Shaloi Lishma, and it could be true what you're saying, because nothing that you're doing is showing which person you're doing it for. And therefore, that's the same as we learn out the Hekesh from Zavachim. In contrast, when you're doing Shaloi Lishma of different types of Kaidish, of what type of Mincha, well, every Mincha shows what you're doing, so your words obviously have no significance. In contrast, although we learn from Zavach, by Zavachim, yeah, it's not obvious. The same slaughtering, same receiving blood, same throwing the blood, and therefore, it's going to be significant over there and invalidated by Shinei Kaidish and not be Olu B'Alam Shem Chayva, in contrast to Mincha, where Rav Shimon says it's even going to be Olu B'Alam L'Shem Chayva.